He says, and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. So the man who is able to discount the lies of the enemy, which are so plentiful, the lies of the world, the philosophies of the world, everybody trying to get us to do things in a secular, non-trusting way. He says, so much better to trust the Lord, because all of those ways are futile in the end. He says in verse 5, many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works, which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. David, in working through his issue now, he's understanding the character of God. He's saying that God can't stop thinking about him. He's not seeing a distant, cold God. He's seeing a loving, benevolent, involved God who is so involved that his mind, the mind of God, is overrun with thoughts of David. What about us? How's that for a thought? How's that for some ammunition for the enemy? That God can't stop thinking about me. He doesn't think about me in a bad way. His constant thought process towards me is how awesome I am, you are, that we're fearfully and wonderfully made, that we're his children, and that he thinks about us constantly. And he's always there making sure that the plan that he has for our lives is working out. That thought seems to overwhelm him. And he also talks about how wonderful God's works are. So another good thing to think about when we're in the pit is just to remember the working of the Lord and how amazing they are. We can think about those in so many ways. We can just think of creation. We can think of how he's worked in our life. We can look back at past experiences. We can look at other people's lives. We can look at the people in the Bible. But we are living epistles. We're living works of God, that he's working out this great plan and this wonderful work. So if we're able to see the many wonderful works of God, then we can see, even when we're in the pit, that we are one of those many wonderful works of God that he's adding to his trophy case, if we will let him work those things out in our life. So he says, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. So David's like, I wish I can make my problem go away, my sin. Remember, he did something sin-wise to cause this. And he's saying, it's not me doing a whole bunch of stuff to make up for this. He's saying, that's not what you wanted, God. He says, my ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. So you can see how this points to the gospel, right? He says in verse 7, he says, then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book, it is written of me. And of course, this is alluding to Jesus himself. And watch this. I love this. He says, I delight to do your will. So this is one of those layered things. This is where David is saying, I delight to do your will. But this is also a foreshadowing of Jesus to the Father. God the Father to God the Son. Jesus was saying, it is my purpose to be about my Father's business. So he says, I delight to do your will, O my God. So that could be really convicting, couldn't it? Because we have to ask ourselves, do I delight to do God's will? Or do I go kicking and scratching down the street in God's will? That's a really good question. And the more kicking and scratching there is, more resistance, the more we're alive and not God living in us and through us. Because we're fighting and resisting what he wants to do in our life. And so he says, I delight to do your will, O my God. And what a great prayer for us tonight, right? Amen. No matter what condition we are in life, maybe the condition we are in life should be used to do God's will and not to try to be out of the condition we're in. Does that make sense? Maybe we spend so much of our time and energy trying to not be where we are, when it's better to spend all our time and energy being where we are and really doing where we are, embracing it as a place that God has put us in to do his will. And I like that term delight. Because that just, I mean, when you think of delight, what do you think about? Anybody? Ice cream. That's a good, I'm right with you on that. What else we got? Anybody? Enchiladas, joy. Wait, what? Chocolate. A lot of food references there. A lot of food, yeah. Good health. So delighting is just such a pleasant chocolate ice cream word. And how many of us think about God's wills like ice cream? Without the calories. If our minds are transformed by God, that's the way we should think. That God's will is like ice cream. It's delight. And he says, and your law is within my heart. He says, I have proclaimed the good news of righteousness. So remember, it's his sin that's put him in this position. And now he's proclaiming God's righteousness. You see, pointing to the gospel again. It's not in him working off his sin or paying penance. It's him rejoicing in God's righteousness. He says, in the great assembly, indeed, I do not restrain my lips. O Lord, you yourselves know I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. Notice the emphasis on God. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly. So this is how the gospel works. This is how evangelism works. That God works in our life so much that we can't help but share this goodness with other people. Because it's so good and we want other people to know the goodness of the Lord. And hasn't that been distorted? If you were to ask normal Joe Blow on the street what they thought about Jesus, what they thought about going to heaven and how to get there, it probably wouldn't be biblical. And isn't it true that there's an agenda to distort and destroy how people view Jesus? There's no mistake about that, right? Jesus is blasphemed all throughout media, entertainment, music, what have you. Did you guys see the football player who was proclaiming Jesus and they cut him off on CNN? Nobody saw that? Yeah, he was preaching the gospel and then they blacked him out. Yeah. Ben Watson's his name. He was talking about the issue at Ferguson. And he was saying it's not a skin problem, it's a sin problem. And he started really getting into the gospel and they just cut him out. It's up to us to proclaim the goodness of the Lord, isn't it? Because it's not going to happen through the media. They're distorting the goodness of the Lord. In general, people don't see Jesus like you and I, the Jesus of the Bible. And that's why it's so important that we proclaim that truth. Verse 11. Do not withhold your tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me. See, that's where his sin issue was. So that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore, my heart fails me. So he says, be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and brought to mutual confusion who seek to destroy my life. And let them be driven backward who brought to dishonor who wish evil on me. So those were those who are now attacking him because of his physical weakness. Sad story. Verse 15, he says, let them be confounded because of their shame who say to me, aha. He said, let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Might want to underline that. Let such as love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified, but I am poor and needy. Here's the inclusion. Yet, the Lord thinks upon me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this just amazing chapter, this amazing book. We thank you for your word that's a lamp unto our feet, Lord. So we come into a time of just waiting on you and reflecting on you and coming to you in fellowship, Lord. We pray now that the things in the scriptures, the things that penetrated our heart, that we would do something with them now. I'd like to just give you an opportunity just to pray these scriptures out. Just as we are going through that chapter, if there's anything in particular the Lord is ministering to your heart, I just want to give you a minute, a second, to just really bring it all before the Lord. You can do that right now. Just empty yourself. We thank you, Lord, and we come before you in this time of communion. We give thanks to you, Lord. We thank you for tearing down the wall of separation, Lord. We thank you for making the way for us to have fellowship with you. And Lord, we want to take this opportunity to do just that. We want to take an opportunity, Lord, to speak with you, to reflect on you, to worship you, to praise you, to glorify you. And we come back to the place of your cross, Lord. The place where you demonstrated your love for us. The place where you gave it all. The place where we have to be humbled to see our God suffer so. And Lord, your body that was broken, as we take of the cracker, we're remembering, Lord, it was your body that was broken. As we take of the cup, we remember as your blood that was spilled, that you gave it all, Lord. And so now we just want to honor you, Lord. In Jesus' name. I'm going to have the band. They're going to play, but you know what's really important is that you and I learn and grow in our own relationship with God. That we wouldn't need any props or anything to substitute our relationship with God, but we would be able to have our own relationship with God. So that's what this is right now. So let's just continue in a state of fellowship with the Lord. Let's continue to make this just about you and him. And when you just hold on to the communion, we'll take it all together. Okay? Really what it's all about, isn't it? It's about fellowship. God's grace allows us to have fellowship with him. Not by works. Not anything that we do, but what he did. We visit the cross again tonight. We remember the love of Jesus Christ. We remember the most loving act that anyone can do for another, that God did that for us. That he was on the cross having thoughts of us that were so numerous they couldn't be counted. Personally, you, me. The cross tells us that everything's going to be okay. The cross tells us that Jesus is in control. The cross tells us that our sins are no more. The cross tells us that we're going to heaven. The cross tells us it is finished. Let's partake of the bread as we remember the body of Jesus Christ. Let's partake of the cup as we remember the blood of Jesus Christ. We're going to take a few minutes to give you an opportunity to minister to the body. Maybe the Lord has put something on your heart, a scripture, a word, some impression that God has for the church today. We just want to give you the opportunity. We saw how David, he didn't keep all of what the goodness of the Lord was in his heart, but he proclaimed it in the assembly. And so we're going to take the next few minutes to allow you to do that, and then we're going to sing one closing song. Amen. Amen. So people are reading their 1-year Bibles, I see. Any more? Amen. All right, let's stand. and worship our amazing God. Amen.
God bless you all. Have a great rest of the week, and we'll see you Sunday.